I was just talking to Bill Gates. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. When we last checked in with the billionaire philanthropist and Microsoft founder, he just announced a risky and ambitious plan to look for ways to make energy reliable, super clean, and super cheap. It coincided with the Paris Climate Change Agreement. It's now a year later, and Bill Gates has turned the pledges of good intentions into real money, more than $1 billion, for what he's calling Breakthrough Energy Ventures. The project will be run by a team of innovators and venture capitalists who will take big risks on long-shot ideas such as turning sunshine into liquid fuel. It's like a venture capital fund, but with a key difference, more patience. He spoke to Marketplace from Seattle. Mr. Gates, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Venture capital, they want the returns a little quicker. You're willing to be a little more patient?
A typical venture fund is a 6 to 10 year time frame, and they don't have an active board. Here, we've got investors in for a 15 to 20 year time frame. And a lot of these companies, as they build pilot plants and scale up, will have to raise money even beyond what they'll get from the Breakthrough Energy Ventures. So having us there and connecting them up to institutions like University of California or strategic partners, that'll be one way we help them get to the incredible scale you need, both to affect the climate and to make a super big success.
I mean, because that's the thing. You have more than $1 billion, but the question is that a lot of money or is it just a little money? Because you're trying to do something very large and potentially very expensive to achieve.
So for the venture stage, the early work, $1 billion is a lot of money. That should let us back many dozen companies. There'll be an attrition rate there, but somewhere between 5 and 10 should get to the point where we need to go out and help them get financing from other sources.
You almost wish you did this 20 years ago, Bill. In other words, do we have 20 years? There are some people who think time's running out on some of these issues.
Well, the best writer on that is Václav Smil, who reminds us that energy transitions have historically been 50 years or more. And so here we have to move faster than normal. It's almost like having a deadline, which in science you usually don't have. We'll need a bit of luck to meet that time frame, and that's why we're moving everything as fast as we can.
You and your partners are investing deeply in this technology, in this innovation, really in the science here. Do you worry that science, particularly the science that drives energy policy, may become a partisan issue in this next administration?
Well, I hope not. I've been up in the Congress talking to Republicans and Democrats, and I've seen that commitment to energy R&D is one of the more bipartisan things. Even if you factor out climate, if you can make energy cheaper, if you can have better energy security, if you have no local pollution, a lot of these advances are some of the best deals you can imagine. And so if you put that framework on, I think we'll try and make the case to this administration and others that increasing energy R&D is a very smart thing to do.
Powerful interests, though, the incumbent energy companies, do you think they could stand in the way of the deployment of technology that your team discovers and develops?
No, I don't think so. In fact, they would embrace something that made energy cheaper. These are huge markets. The opportunities are really incredible. It's not an easy space, but I don't have any doubt that if we really invent something, it will get out there. The interest in this is phenomenal.
I hear it in your voice, an optimism. I'm not exactly sure where you're drawing the optimism from, but an optimism that you think you're going to come across something, that this could pan out.
Yeah, I'm seeing some stuff that, you know, I'm thrilled to put money into, and having an incredible technical team that can look into every one of these ideas will let us separate out a few that really have promise.
Bill Gates announcing the Breakthrough Energy Ventures, the more than $1 billion investor fund. Mr. Gates, thank you very much.
Thanks. It was great.
The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve start their meeting today, but the decision that will affect every woman, man, and child in America will come tomorrow after lunch, Eastern Time. The Fed's going to raise interest rates, he said with a fair degree of confidence. And two updates now from the president-elect on sequestering himself from his businesses to avoid conflicts of interest. There is word Mr. Trump will not be ready with details of this by Thursday, as promised. The details will come in January sometime. And there's another pledge.
President-elect Trump tweeted that his adult sons will manage his businesses. His tweet said he'll be leaving his businesses before Inauguration Day on January 20th, but the tweets leave a lot of questions unanswered. Trump tweeted that no new deals would be done during his term or terms in office. But who won't be doing any new deals? Him or anyone running his businesses? Will his sons still do deals? And how do you define a deal? Are we just talking about mergers and acquisitions? A real estate business has to do deals all the time, deals like leases with tenants and loans from banks. Trump says he'll hold a press conference in the near future to discuss his businesses and hopefully answer these questions.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer there. And I know every startup is an Uber for this and an Uber for that, but a kind of Uber for private jets has just raised another $100 million or so. Jet Smarter sells unused seats on chartered planes among early investors, the Saudi royal family and Jay-Z. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week, Daniel Ramirez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.